set, a couple musicians, we got it covered. Two or more, I'm there. He's here. Amen? So let's just enjoy the Word of God today. I've been sharing with you about how much I don't know about you guys, but I don't know, when I hear everything that's being spoken and prophesied, and whether it'll be on a national level or even a world stage level with some of the prophetic voices and the things we're hearing locally, I believe the reason the Lord tells us that there's an abundance of rain and we can hear it, it's like you hear it before you feel it and see it. And you might see it before you actually, what I mean by seeing it in actuality, right? I mean, it's one thing to know God's getting ready to do something. It's another thing for it to actually be experienced. And I believe we've had some powerful times of just when we gather. I mean, our prayer night, what night was it this past week? Thursday was just off the hook. And I'm telling you, God's doing things, and I'm excited. But I think what Elijah was saying, but I hear an abundance and an outpouring that's going to be very, very impactful. Friday night, I went to New Generation. They were hosting a ministry, was using their facility. Some brothers were there, and I had met them earlier at our prayer night, and I wanted to go and just show some support. And I went. I'm glad I went. It was good night. Got a little late. And we come out, and absolutely the parking lot is like ankle deep in water. And I'm looking and going, I didn't even know it had started raining. And when I drove in into the parking lot, now we're in Central Phoenix, but when I drove into the parking lot, it was dry as a bone. There wasn't a cloud in the sky that I can remember. I remember seeing the sunset, and I thought, what in the world? Yeah, welcome. And so we went in, and I came out, like I said, about 10:30. It's just a gully washer. I had some supplies and stuff that we were giving to them for their children's ministry, and I had to talk Omar Jr. into racing out to the car with me to grab this stuff. And I didn't even carry the stuff in. He did, bless his heart. But I got just as drowned as he did, just getting in my car, you know. And I'm sitting there, and I'm wiping myself off, and I'm thinking, wow. And I looked out at the street, which is it 35th Avenue? 35th, I think. Yeah. I looked out at 35th Avenue, and the water's just like a river. Now, I'm in my truck, so I wasn't that freaked out about the depth of the water. So I just went on out, and I went down to Indian School. No, Glendale Road, yeah. And you couldn't drive in the right lane, right, on either side because, you know, the runoff. Yeah. And I get on I-17. Huh. Never driven on I-17 in the rain before in all my years of living here. Don't drive on I-17 a lot anyway. And I'm coming down I-17, and I think the Holy Spirit was giving me a heads up. I really do. And it wasn't that I ignored him. I just didn't respond in time, like get off at Camelback. And then when I passed the exit, because I had to work my way, I couldn't believe the traffic in a rainstorm. I thought everybody would have just kind of been waiting it out. And then next thing I know, as I look toward the Indian School exit, it's like an ocean.
Yeah. Flash
flood. Under that, yeah, where the freeway goes kind of under Indian School Road. And then the cops are trying to get everybody to exit and not go floating down the I-17. And anyway, I finally get off onto Indian School Road. You can imagine five lanes of traffic trying to go in the rain at night, 10:30. Sure, there's a few people in that line of cars that are probably under the influence of something on a Friday night. Come on. Yeah, and we get off on the Indian School. I told Susan, this is going to be a while, because it was just still raining and lightning. And I said, I'm just going to drive through the city and keep it safe. Well, the city was flooded.
Yeah, it gets like that.
The first intersection was just all underwater. And boy, never anymore that I praise and thank God I wasn't in a small sedan, because I'm sure cars were floating. But anyway, what normally that's about a 45-minute drive from my house in Chandler to Central Phoenix, and it took me an hour and a half, but I got home. Anyway. Here's my point. It stormed big time, and I didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
Amen? You know, the monsoons are like that. Here's the other thing. We'll see the dark cloud and want to batten down the hatches, and nothing happens.
Yeah.
Or maybe you'll get like, just enough to mess up your windshield, you know what I mean? A little bit of dust, and you know. But, you know, this was just like, you know. And I praise God for all the rain we're getting. Yeah. It's just wonderful. Things are greening up, and my grass came back alive. It's a resurrection in my backyard. And,
he's telling you, well, and great for it.
Yeah, I don't know if my landscaper guy appreciates it too much. You know, he's like, oh, I got to work when I come over here. You know, usually in the summertime, I just wave at the grass and don't cut it. But anyway, it was amazing time. But I just believe that when the early and latter rains, it's going to be like that.
Yeah.
There's these monsoons of God coming, and I'm just excited. For us in our ministry, it's always been a prophetic sign. I did want to say one thing else before we get going. This is part of what I want to share in a sense. But there was an article some of you may have seen, I think it was on Arizona Central, that said that, you know, we've had all these days in a row that we've not, on the high temperature, gone over 100. It's been in the 90s for a high. For like, some people from other places might go, oh man, that's hot. Well, here, that's like, grab a sweater, you know. and I'm like, and I thought, well, I've never seen it like this. Now, I've lived here 15 summers, so I've seen a few. I've seen the ups and downs and the ebb and flow. But one thing you can depend on in August, hot, right? And possibly a monsoon. But it's going to be hot. And it's not going to let go till September, right? Right? Well, sure enough, the article said, this is the longest stretch of 90 below 100 since 1971. Wow. 50 years.
Wow. Wow.
I like the number 50.
Wow.
Amen. Pentecost. Amen. Yes. Come on. Yes. And I think it's been 50 years since the temperature has been like this.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. I'll take it. Amen. My utility bill should be nicer to me than it normally would be. Anyway, I don't know, guys. Discerning the times, though, we need to ready ourselves. Would you agree? We need to ready ourselves because we know clearly there's going to be shaking. There's going to be things because there's going to be the storms of God, but there's going to be the storms of the enemy, no doubt.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to cause people to be fearful. You know, when I say get ready, I don't mean just get ready so you go to heaven. I'm talking about get ready for the shaking because the unshakable kingdom won't shake.
That's it.
Amen. Like I shared with you last week, we have to use the keys of the unshakable kingdom.
That's right.
Amen? And if we don't use those keys, then we might find ourselves shaking, even though we're believers.
Yeah.
And I've been there. You know, we've all been there. Something comes into our life, and we realize, man, I wasn't very grounded there, right? That's what we'll use that term. I wasn't grounded there.
Yeah.
So Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Now, he was talking about provision. He was talking about the things we need to survive, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. He said, don't get anxious about that. You put my kingdom first, right? And these things will be added unto you. So everybody say prosperity.
Prosperity.
Now to many, that's a bad word and it's unfortunate. But the enemy's trying to rob us of something that's very important. Yeah. Grab hold of him. He's going to get set free today. Hallelujah. Think about this. The promised land. Okay, I want to teach. The promised land was under enemy control. Was it not?
Yes.
It wasn't like this beautiful land was there just waiting on them to come and occupy it.
No,
there was an enemy there. The cities were fortified. I mean, giants were in the land. This was not a friendly place. Are you with me? And yet God said, I've given it to you. Go get it.
Yeah, right.
And the word possess in the Hebrew actually means to take hold of it by driving out the previous tenant.
Yeah.
That's the meaning. You can't take hold of something if you don't get the enemy out. How many of you found that out? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So, with that in mind, I want to share a teaching with you. Are you ready? Because, see, I believe with all my heart, and I'm being careful here, I am not saying, thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
Everybody clear? Don't put me on Facebook.
Yeah.
But I know an economic storm is coming.
Yeah.
All you got to do is look in the natural of what's going on with our government and the decisions they're making and what's going on in the world. But we are still in an unshakable kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So with that in mind, I feel like the Lord wanted me to speak into this today.
Amen.
Okay? Because I feel like there is something miraculous God wants to do, even in the area of financial resources and supply. I believe that.
Yes.
Now, so let's look at what Jesus says in Luke 16. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's get into this teaching. I believe it's going to really bless you today. And if any of us have a poverty mindset, I believe the Word of God is going to renew us into a prosperity mindset. Amen?
Amen.
Because you're going to choose out of the two, I think you know which one you ought to choose.
That's right.
Luke 16:10. This is our Lord saying this. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Do y'all see that? We know that. It's true in the world. If somebody can't handle the simple things, how in the world are you going to make him the manager of a department or something? You know what I'm saying? Our faithfulness in little things proves we can handle the bigger things that we would be given. Amen? Even in the world, they understand that principle. But look what he says next. Therefore, the next verse, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth or mammon or riches or money, who will entrust what?
Yeah.
What does it say? The true riches to you. Now, I believe the true riches are obviously the things of the kingdom. Amen? It's Jesus Himself. It's living water. It's all the aspects. That's, how many know that's the true riches? Because they're eternal and they mean a lot more than what we would call the riches that we would need. Because when it's all said and done, you ain't taking it with you.
That's right.
But you do take the true riches with you. Amen? Right into eternity. Here's the thing. Here's what I want you to hear. Our ability to enjoy the true riches is determined by our faithful stewarding of the unrighteous riches. Do you see that? It's what that Jesus said that, not Rick. Jesus said that. If we can't be faithful there, it will determine our ability to be able to steward and be blessed by the true riches of God. I want to talk to you today about biblical prosperity and true riches. Here's the thing. Our faithfulness to steward one will determine our ability to receive the other. And again, that what I just read to you out of Luke, that was in red in your Bible. That's Jesus talking, okay? All right? Isaiah, when you go to the book of Isaiah, you can turn there with me to chapter 1. Isaiah begins with a very strong rebuke of Israel for their rebellion and their unfaithfulness. But also mercy is extended in the very opening chapter. Mercy's extended because God wants to restore them to a time of restoration. But also, you'll notice, He also was bringing them back into their prosperity. Okay? Now look with me, if you would, at Isaiah 1:16. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow, and though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. In other words, what was he saying? Repent and get right. Amen. Let God. Now we know in the new covenant, it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from every stain. Amen. And breaks every chain. Hallelujah. And it's to get right with God. So his call was, first of all, you know what you need to be doing, but you need to wash yourselves. You need to allow God to do it. Well, we all understand that, right?
Yeah.
And we all get to places in our lives where something God says, you really need a bath right there.
Yeah.
Amen. You need to be washed in my word and allow me to do a work in you. Okay. Now look at verse 19. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. Do you see that? Now, most of you, most translations say, if you're willing and obedient. Let's say that together. Willing,
willing
and obedient, you will eat the good of the land or the best of the land. In other words, you will prosper. Don't get quiet on me. Don't get scared. The children of Israel, when they crossed the Jordan, if you'll remember, the first thing they did is they laid the memorial stones, remember? So that all the generations would be able to come back and remember the miracle of what God did. But then the Lord instructed them to circumcise all the men because the men that were born in the wilderness had not been circumcised. Because remember, the original generation that was circumcised had died off, remember, 40 years later. And so he said, circumcise them. Now for you and I, you remember what he said to them today after they were circumcised? Today, the reproach of Egypt is rolled off of you. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So you and I, when we're born again, we're circumcised of the heart.
Right.
Amen? And our reproach of our past, our slavery, or whatever it may be, is rolled off of us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you can see the story. We all know this. When we look at Israel, we look at the Promised Land, we look at Passover. Actually, the next thing they did was they observed Passover. The very next day after Passover, get this now, they ate some of the produce and the unleavened bread and the parched grain. They ate for themselves from the land. And the manna ceased. This miracle breakfast every day ceased. Right? Think about that. For 40 years, it was always there. But when they went into the Promised Land and began to partake of the land, because God never intended them to not prosper when they went in. Are y'all with me? If it's a good land, God says, I want you to eat the best of it. Because remember, they complained about getting tired of the manna. They could have used some variety, right? Come on. Hallelujah. Are y'all staying with me?
Yeah.
Okay, it's important. So now they're going to have to go in. They're going to have to go in and possess it, right?
Yeah.
And that's really prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
Just always getting a miracle breakthrough by the skin of your teeth, that's not prosperity.
Right.
Not really, not according to what God wants for us. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
I'm not against having a miracle when you need it. I've had financial miracles and breakthroughs. And I tell you, there's a prosperity the Lord wants us, and it comes by possessing. Everybody say possessing.
Possessing.
Here's the thing, guys. We too must be willing and obedient. We must be willing to walk by faith. As I shared with you last week, if you didn't get last week's message, please listen to it. To take those keys of the kingdom, to grow in the knowledge of God, to take possession of it, to hold to it in Jesus' name. Many sadly are saved, but they're not willing and obedient. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying people aren't saved. I don't say they don't know the Lord. No condemnation. But you can't eat the good of the land and prosper if you're unwilling. And if you're unwilling, then you won't be obedient. The challenges that we're going to face, I believe, at the end of the age are only going to ramp up. Hello? They're only going to ramp up. But it doesn't change God's promise. Hello? And you know, sometimes the very thing of persecution and the enemy actually brings out the best in us.
That's right. Yeah.
And I'm not saying, oh, devil, bring it on. I'm not one of those guys. No, I'm not taunting the enemy. But sometimes if we'll understand that God intends for you to prosper, even though you went in and found out your company was closing, does it change that God's going to prosper you? See, it's all about your mindset. If you're in a poverty mindset, suddenly you're wanting to have a big yard sale and sell everything and, well, we got to try to find some way to make it.
Yeah.
Sell the car, sell, you know, whatever. And it's a mindset that has to change. Unless God directed you to do that.
Yeah.
The challenges that we're going to face are going to be there. And as I shared last week, we have to activate faith and draw near so that we don't fear. Because if we don't activate our faith and draw near, how many know, the longer I wait on running to God with something, the more fear gets a grip on me.
Yeah.
And I've talked about it with my wife. I've talked about it with my friends. I've talked about it to anybody who don't talk to me about it. Everybody knows about Rick's latest incident. You still there? Draw near, but do not fear. Amen. I believe our promised land as believers, and remember this, we're joint heirs with Jesus. Okay? So our promised land, first and foremost, could I say this? Our promised land is the promises.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Fair enough?
Amen.
That's our promised land. But also, it is, I kind of lost my train of thought here. Our promise is also, Paul describes it as the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So our promised land is also the people of God. Amen? Because that's where the riches of His glory is manifest. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. If we could get a revelation of that, churches would be filled. Amen? And then it's the abundant harvest of the nations. That's our promise. Amen? Ask of me and I will give you the nations. Right? And so we see that. Now when Peter, we're not going to turn there, but in Peter's second epistle, most of you are familiar with it, he opens up by saying, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Seeing that the divine power of God has granted to us everything pertaining to life. Everybody say life,
life.
And godliness. Life and godliness. In other words, He's provided them, again, through the precious and the magnificent promises of God. And by His divine power and nature, we're able to partake of His divine nature, get this, and escape the corruption that is in the world by lust.
Amen?
Amen? And that's how he opens up his second epistle. There's so much power in those verses. And I know you've heard me teach on it and all. So I'm going to keep moving. But Paul said when he spoke to the Corinthians, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he also said that every promise of God, as many of them as there are, if you're in Christ Jesus, they are yes to you.
Amen?
Amen? Yes. We're to give our amen. We're to give our agreement. That's your verbal agreement. Yes, Lord. Be it unto me. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, say be it unto me.
Be it unto me.
Hebrews tells us that by faith and patience, oh, don't you wish that word wasn't in there?
Patience.
Come on. You mean I have to have patience? I like to use the word endurance.
Yeah, that's better.
By faith and endurance, we what? Inherit the promises of God. The same promises that are yes.
Yeah.
We inherit them by faith and patience. Don't forget this. The covenant, which is the covenant, what we call the new covenant, that better covenant, those promises, this covenant was enacted by the blood of Jesus. It's a covenant in His blood.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me? Because
yeah.
If He hadn't shed His blood, there would be no covenant. His promises would mean nothing. But the fact that they do, I don't want you to just look at it like, because sometimes I almost feel like when we're trying to contend for something, we could get the feeling like, oh, I hate to bother you, Lord. Well, how many are glad He was bothered enough to shed His blood?
Yes.
See, the most honoring thing you can do is stand on a promise.
Amen.
The most worshiping thing you can do is stand on a promise of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Everybody say, no rabbit trails, Rick, because I want to. I really was long-winded last week. I got to keep moving here. Amen. That's a message in itself right there. He paid it all. And he certainly, if he paid for it, would want us to enter into it. Are you with me? Go to 3 John, the third epistle of John. There's only one chapter, so it's verses 2 through 4. Look there with me. Beloved, I pray that in all respects, everybody say that, in all respects, you may what? Prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Do y'all see that? Y'all got that? For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Two things I want to bring to your attention. Would you agree with me that he wishes we may prosper and be in good health?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
The apostle said, that's my desire for you. Okay? But secondly, he said our soul must prosper. What is our soul? Our mind, the way we think, our will, our willingness, right? And our emotions. They must be in line with what we're believing for. So he said, if I could get your soul to prosper, I know that you can. And I prayed about it. I said, the connection of them, I kept thinking, Lord, there's got to be more to this than that. And can I ask you this? Can you think of any two things that probably distract a child of God more than being sick or being in lack?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
When you're ill or, you know, amen?
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, that's caused a lot of us over the years many sleepless nights, right? I ain't got enough and I don't feel like doing anything or whatever, and whatever it may be. Now, I know there's other things, so please, I'm not trying to, you know, make it like the only thing, but I find it interesting that that's how John prayed for them. And but both of these, here's the thing. These things can, not that they will, but they can distract us from our calling, right? They can distract us from even being able to walk in the truth. So what John is writing is this. He goes, nothing brings me more joy than when you walk according to truth, okay? So my prayer for you, my wish for you, is that you prosper and be in good health. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about especially the prosper part. Now Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. That word whatever makes everybody nervous. Well, you mean I can just pray anything? Well, that's not what he said. It's the standard of the Word in you that allows you to be able to pray. Let me explain. When we're abiding in the Word, His Word is within us. And how many of you found the more you abide in the Word, the more that you will desire and wish for what the Word has promised?
Yeah.
Amen.
And so then I can go whatever, right?
Yeah.
According to the Word, right? Very important to understand that. And that's why it's so powerful to pray the Word of God. When you pray and you're believing and standing. Because I'm telling you what, when you're needing to endure, you want to hold on to the Word. Hold fast to the confession of the Word of God. But John in his first epistle, we won't turn there. He said, these things are written, everybody say written, so that you may believe. Why do we have the Bible? So we may believe it. Amen? But then he goes on to say, and this is the confidence we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. Now the context here would mean according to His Word. Right? If I ask anything according to His Word, His will, then what will happen is I will know that He hears and I will have, by faith, what I have asked for. Amen. Amen. Does that help?
Yes.
Always attach a promise to your request.
That's it.
That keeps you in line. Otherwise, Rick would have, I would have a Lamborghini. I would have, y'all with me? I would have a mansion in Scottsdale. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I would have a lot of things, you know. And so the plumb line is the Word of God. Amen?
Yeah.
But He does want us to pray because He can do above and beyond whatever we ask or think. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Most people who abide in the Word, would you agree with me? If you stay in the Word long enough, you're going to come to this result and understanding that Jesus clearly reveals the heart of the Father as Savior, right? As healer, would you agree?
Amen.
As deliverer, amen?
Amen?
But let's be honest. I'm just going to tell you the truth, and a lot of it's because it's the enemy's plan. A lot of people don't have that quite assurance when it comes to prosperity and provision. They tend to kind of, they don't have that quite assurance for that. Even though Jesus addresses it and says, I'm going to so take care of you, you won't even have to be anxious about it. So quit talking about what you don't have and how you're going to eat. I don't know how we're going to get through this, right? I don't know. If the American economy tanks, if it does, God's going to provide. I still have to do the Word of God. Are you with me? Come on now. And I'm not saying the economy's going to tank. I'm believing for a turnaround somewhere. Hallelujah. But the Scripture tells us to not be anxious. And what He say? All these things will be what? Added unto you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The Passion Translation says, I jumped ahead here. What's the most favorite psalm probably if you just ask the average Christian? It's Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, right? The Lord is what? Come on. My shepherd. How's it start? I shall not want. Amen? The passage says, Yahweh is my best friend and my shepherd, and I will lack nothing. Amen? And I will always have more than enough. You might say, boy, he took off on that. Well, it's the meaning and understanding of shepherd. A shepherd is what? A protector? Amen? A shepherd is a guide. A shepherd is a provider.
Yes.
But the best part is a shepherd is a lover of the sheep. Because
yes.
No shepherd would be a shepherd if he didn't love the sheep.
That's right.
Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Does that help you a little bit?
Amen.
So the Lord is my shepherd?
Yeah.
I shall not want.
Yeah. Amen.
I shall not be found wanting.
Amen.
But then what do we do when that's being tested? Well, James writes, come on, y'all know it. Count it all joy. My brethren, when you are what? Encountering various trials, knowing what? That the testing of your faith, amen, produces what? Endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Say it with me. Perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. That's in James in the first chapter, the opening of James, to tell us that. That's prosperity.
Yeah.
Would you agree? Hallelujah. It's a lot more than dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Amen? A lot more than that. So everybody relax, okay? We've got to watch out. Now, I don't know if this was a cultural thing in the South or if it's a generational cultural type thing. I don't know. Anybody ever heard the phrase, stop your poor mouthing?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody ever heard that?
Absolutely.
My mother would say that. Just stop your poor mouthing. In other words, quit being a griper and complainer and, you know what I mean? Just, you know. She called it poor mouthing. And I kept thinking of my mom this week and thinking about hearing that. I heard that a lot in the South, I guess. But can I, don't get offended, just get delivered. But it comes from a poverty spirit.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
It does. It's a poverty way of thinking.
Yeah.
It's a poverty way of talking. It's a poverty way of responding. Amen? Because you're going to have to respond to things. And if you have a poverty spirit, that's just the way you respond in this arena. Some people in the arena, if something attacked their body, they immediately go on the rampage and hold the promises of God for healing.
Yeah.
But we don't do so much with this. Hello? Come on, guys. It's okay. I love you. When you got saved, get this now, you were blessed with the blessing of Abraham.
Amen.
And Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. Not just to get blessed, but to be a blessing, which means I've got to have more than enough.
Yep.
Not only for me and myself and I, but for those that I want to bless. I don't know about you, I want to live that life. Here's the thing, let's be honest. We can't bless others if we are lacking.
That's
true in the anointing. That's true in love. That's true in anything. But it's especially true in resources or finances.
Yeah.
How can I bless somebody if I'm lacking myself? Amen? Amen, Pastor Rick.
Amen.
Here's the thing. If we really study out the blessing of Abraham, you remember the child of promise's name was what?
Isaac.
And I love it because his name means he who laughs. Amen?
Yeah.
And it was a laughable moment when a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman have a child. That's a laughable moment.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something right now. That boy was a real boy and he grew up and in a time of great famine. We would call it of economic depression. Or recession, that's what we would call it. In a time of great famine in this agricultural culture and economics, he sowed, and that year he reaped 100-fold. I mean, you know, in the natural, that makes no sense. Amen? It makes, why are you still tithing? Why are you still sowing? What? Come on. Hello? You need to tighten up and pull back. And you've got to be careful because that's not of God. God is a giver. He doesn't pull back and hold on. Are you with me, guys?
Yeah.
Are you with me? Hallelujah. We have to develop a prosperous soul.
Yeah.
so that we'll think and speak and act prosperously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen? So that when times of difficulty comes, we just don't immediately cease to sow.
Yeah.
Amen? Prosperity, if I could define it biblically, and I've searched it out, it entails fruitfulness. It entails the blessing of His favor being upon you for anything, business, whatever. It's also protection. Prosperity is also to be successful in your endeavors, okay? And it means to be amply supplied with no lack. But most people only focus on that, like this is just a money grab. No, it speaks to all dimensions of your life. Amen? I mean, Joshua could have been very, very wealthy, but to go into the promised land and not be able to possess it, that's not prospering.
Right.
Are you seeing what I'm saying? Are you seeing what I'm saying? And this is the way we ought to think. And if we don't think this way, you know what I find? When I don't think this way, because I'm bad about letting myself shift in and out of poverty thinking. And then I pull it back in. No, that ain't how I'm supposed to think. Y'all with me? Come on. What happens is, if I don't think correctly, then I become obsessed with lack. I become obsessed with how it's coming in or if it's coming in. Instead of having the faith to believe this, that my God said I would have a sufficiency to meet every need. I believe that to mean to pay every bill and meet every obligation, right? But also the abundance to do every good work. Not for me to live lavishly, but to do every good work. Amen? Hallelujah. And if we will grow in the knowledge of God, if we renew our minds accordingly, our thinking and our belief systems, we'll become transformed, right? Amen? We'll become transformed, and we'll be transformed from a poverty mindset. Because see, it's not about casting out a spirit of poverty. It's about changing the way you think. Amen? Transformation comes by renewing your mind. We all know that. Otherwise, we'll just conform to the world. We'll think like everybody thinks. But we're to think differently. Amen? Now, here's the part. I used to think, I love the idea of transformation, metamorphosis. Right? Let's renew our minds with the Word of God. And I used to keep thinking, why does it seem like transformation takes so long? And the Lord corrected me. The Lord told me, how many of you have ever responded to something in the Word of God? Maybe you confessed it, you prayed it, somebody prayed with you, and you stood on it. You're like, well, man, this is great. But how many of you know the transformation won't take place if it's not an ongoing renewal?
That's it.
And so a lot of people, that's why Jesus said, my true disciples abide. They continue in my Word, right? And it's that continuing in the Word of God. So sometimes I have to, anybody with me? I got to give myself a tune-up.
Yeah.
Right? Amen? I got to give a tune-up. I mean, my thoughts are starting. Because what I found, and I believe this is true because we live in a dark and fallen world. Amen? And we live in a fleshly body. We have to deal with the lusts and desires of the flesh and all of that. And the pride of life and all the things that come against us. And I'm convinced of this. The reason, we if we don't renew our mind consistently, we will drift.
Yes.
How many can relate to that? Yeah. We will drift and start conforming to the way we used to think.
Yeah.
So that has to change. Amen? Amen? Say it has to change. Now, I want to share from two or three Psalms with you some verses that will encourage you. And if you were just even to meditate on these, you would start thinking differently. Can I share them with you? Good, because I'm going to. Hallelujah. Are you ready? I want to stir your faith, but I also want to change the way you think. Look at Psalm. They'll be right in a row if you want to turn in your Bible. Psalm 34, look there with me at verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues them. O, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. O, fear the Lord, you His saints. For to those who fear Him, what does it say?
There
is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they who seek the Lord, say it with me, shall not be in want of any good thing. Say it again. Shall not be in want of any good thing. So who is this for? It's for those who fear Him. I'll explain that in a minute. Verse 11. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may seek? By the way, these verses are in Peter's epistle. In the new covenant, okay? Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Keep your tongue from evil. He who desires life and loves length of days, that he may see good. Anybody want that? That's prosperity. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking what? Deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. There is no want, and we'll not be lacking of any good things. Somebody say amen to that. That's good.
Amen.
Now remember, biblical prosperity is fruitfulness, favor, protection, and success, and an ample supply.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Of what you need. Hallelujah. Be careful. Hear my heart. Be careful of all the rhetoric that's out there attacking prosperity preachers. There's even a documentary film that everybody taunts. But these guys are in attack mode going after people. And I will agree, there are some ministers that have probably, and I'm not going to mention any names because I don't answer for them.
That's right.
I'm not going to be sitting by Jesus at the great white throne of judgment. And Jesus is going to lean over and go, hey, Rick, what do you think? Should I?
Oh, no.
That's not my job and it's not yours.
No.
That's why I hate stuff like this when it spreads through the body of Christ. Everybody's an expert.
Yeah.
And they understand everything about that man or woman's life. I said, please. Please, that's just not, it causes you to fret. And we're going to look at a verse about that in just a moment. Say, no rabbit trails, Pastor Rick. Okay, be careful. And I understand there's some people that take some biblical precepts and they live lavishly. I get it. But it doesn't change the principle. Here's what I found. The problem is when we act as though prosperity is something evil.
Yeah, right.
Well, you're telling me poverty is good?
Yeah, right?
How many times have you driven into areas, I don't care if it's the res or an inner city or another country, and you see poverty, it just breaks your soul. There ain't nothing good about poverty.
Oppression.
Amen.
Oppression, poverty.
Hallelujah. Prosperity is good. Got quiet on that response. The poverty evil, you didn't mind, it's kind of poverty evil. The Word tells us what is needed to have a balanced, righteous, biblical view of prosperity. And you know what it is? The fear of the Lord.
Amen.
And it's not to be afraid of God. The fear of the Lord is a humble reverence in holding Him in awe. He is God. Amen? And part, you know what I'm learning as I become deeper and deeper of a worshiper in my life, and I've known Him for years, longer than most of you. I've walked with Jesus since the late 70s. I want to tell you today, I'm learning more and more. The more I reverence in Him and love Him and in awe of Him, I'm realizing He actually is wanting to provoke me to believe for everything He died for.
There you go.
Amen?
Amen.
And to obtain that. Amen? And to not take lightly the sacrifice that He paid. Amen? And the sacrifice that He made. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 35 real quick. Verse 27. Flip over to 35. Look at verse 27. Let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication. And let them say what? Continually. Everybody with me? Let's say it together. The Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of His servant. Say it again. The Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of His servant. And my tongue shall declare your righteousness and praise all day long. Think about that. He delights in our prosperity. God doesn't delight in your failure, in your lack of success, in your wanting and being in lack. Amen? Hello? You're His child. You're in His kingdom. Glory be to God. And we're to praise Him continually for it. Psalm 37. Flip over to two more Psalms. Go to verse 7. Now this is important for the very thing we just talked about. Because if you're so worried about what everybody else is doing with their prosperity and how they got it, I got news for you. It'll cause you to melt down spiritually.
Yeah.
And look what He addresses it here. Verse 7. It's 37:7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. There's that word we all love, patience. Do not fret because of him, get this, who prospers in his way. In his way. Because of the man who carries out what? Wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. What happens? It leads only to evil doing. Amen? You become obsessed with what everybody else is doing, right or wrong, it'll lead you into evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, say it with me, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. You will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will what? Inherit the land, and will delight themselves, say it, in abundant prosperity. Say it again. Abundant prosperity. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Now please note, I'm not promoting a belief that we won't have to fight the good fight of faith. I'm not saying there's not going to be some times we're going to be enduring where it seems like there's a lot of lack and we're fighting through that. We've all been there. There's trials and things that come. But He still promises provision.
Yes.
Amen? And there are times we have to endure before we actually inherit it. But make no doubt about it. Please hear me. The devil is your adversary.
Yes, he is.
Amen? The devil is your adversary. God is not holding out on you.
No.
The devil is your adversary. He is the thief.
Yes.
So he's trying to steal something that belongs to you.
Yes.
Amen? That's what thieves do.
Yes.
It isn't theirs.
Yes.
And he's a devourer. Even the earth is not... I heard a guy say this years ago. I think it was Charles Capps, the old Word of Faith teacher. But he said, I think he said it this way. Whoever told you that the earth was Satan's consolation prize for falling out of heaven? Here, you can have the earth. No. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
The earth is the Lord's
right. And
all that it contains. Amen?
Right. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on. That'll give you a little bit different attitude about what we're fighting against.
Yeah.
Look at verse 25 in that same psalm. Look at verse 25. I love this. I have been young and now I am old. I used to couldn't say that. Anybody with me? I used to couldn't say that, but I can say that now. Come on, Bill. I have been young and now I am old. Come on. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants, his children, begging bread. Come on. All day long, he is what? Gracious. And he lends. And his descendants are a blessing. Hallelujah!
Yes.
I have not seen two things. The righteous forsaken.
Amen.
And what? And a righteous man's children begging for bread.
Yes.
Isn't that good? All right, here's what we should be seeing, or we do see. All day long, and every day, I would add, the righteous man is gracious, and he lends, and his children are a blessing. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, do you see yourself like that? Even in preparing this message. And I thought I'd gotten all poverty out of my mindset. He said, but do you see yourself that way? Do you see yourself this way? Do you think this way? Amen? If we will consent and obey, if we'll be willing and obedient, we can eat the good of the land. And the Lord will give us grace for giving. Now, Paul addresses the grace of giving, and he talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. Don't turn there. We don't have time. But if you've never read it, prayerfully read it, it's so powerful. Because he even speaks about this grace to give generously. And he even says there were some that had this grace that at the time they were in deep poverty. He's talking about the churches that supported him and all that. Some of them were giving out of their deep poverty because he understood something. And that's where the promise came, a sufficiency in everything and an abundance for every good work. Here's the thing. The grace to give also helps us to learn how to be content.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? To learn how to be content. I don't know if Americans were good at that. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
To be content. Because if I'm not content, you know what I find myself doing? I'll plant a seed, but then I'll pull it up.
Yeah.
You know? Or I'll pull it back. Or I'll stop sowing.
Yeah.
Or I even curse what I sowed instead of looking for the harvest of it. So we have to be, we need the grace of giving. We ought to be sowing and watering that seed and praising God for what's coming. Amen?
Amen.
Now, in Philippians, Paul speaks of learning how to be content in all seasons, trusting God that He will supply all of our needs. And he also gives great, even more attention to the true riches. So let me show you this really quickly in Philippians. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak from want. Notice that. For I've learned to be what? Content. If you're content, you won't be in want. And notice though what he says. In whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means and I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, now get this, you have done well. Now this is an apostle writing to the Philippian church. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
And of course we have it today as the Lord speaking to us, okay? Okay, look what he says. Where did I stop? Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You Philippians, right? You yourselves know that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of what? Say it with me. Giving and receiving. If you're a giver, you should expect to receive. Amen? But you alone. In other words, this was written to the Philippians. It was written to people who give. Amen? For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit, get this now, which increases to your account. If you're a giver, you have an account. Hello? How do you open an account with God? Give. Hello? You got to participate. Amen? I just don't drive by Bank of America and get an account. I got to go inside and put some money in that account. Amen? Y'all are being quiet. It's okay. Sacred cows have to fall hard. But I have received everything in full and have, talk to me, have what? An abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from, and I love to say this, Epaphroditus, which I for years couldn't even say, Epaphroditus, what you have sent, say, let's talk together, come on, everybody, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. That's why we give our offerings to God. Amen? It's well-pleasing to God. Now we get the verse that everybody knows. Verse 19. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Who is this promised to? It's to those who are willing and obedient, who participate in giving and receiving.
That's right. That's right.
That's who the promise is to. Are y'all with me? Now, as I said earlier, before Paul even wrote about this, toward the end of the book, the letter he wrote to the Philippian church, he talked about the true riches. He spoke very fondly of the true riches. Most of you know. He said, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, that I may know Him. See, Paul knew that was the true riches. Are y'all with me? True riches is knowing Jesus.
Yes.
Amen? Hello? So Paul says, there's one thing I do. I forget what lies behind and I press forward. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The prize, the true riches is Jesus Himself and His glorious kingdom. To know Him more, not just get my needs met. Though He will meet my needs. But the prize is Jesus. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
See, this is the balance. This is what the fear of the Lord does. It brings us into that balance of understanding. There's the true riches that mean a lot more than me getting my needs met. But He will meet my needs. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I want to know Him more. It's a righteous attitude of prosperity. And it comes from a fear of the Lord. It comes from a deep reverence of worshiping heart toward God. I believe that. And certainly not a reverence for poverty. I hear some people talk, it's like they reverence poverty and lack. It's almost like it's their idol because, see, that's what they think has gotten in favor with God because of what they suffer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, it's not biblical. It's not biblical. The Bible says Jesus became poor that you and I might become rich. What do you do with that verse? Hello? Certainly He stepped down from glory. There wasn't any best life here that would ever attain to what He lived in. Amen? How about we magnify Jehovah Jireh, our provider? Amen?
Yeah.
Instead of magnify poverty, hard times, not enough, blah, blah, blah. Amen?
Amen?
Still love me?
Yeah.
Amen. Still love me? Okay. So, let's go back to where we began. Our faithful stewarding of unrighteous wealth determines our ability to be entrusted with the true riches. Entrusted. So, it impacts our ministry. It impacts how we minister. It impacts the anointing in our lives. I'm convinced of it. It's the true riches. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
And it is impacted by that faithfulness. It's kingdom stewardship and prosperity. Amen? So be willing and obedient, and you will prosper. Amen? But it's hard to be willing and obedient if you have a poverty mindset.
Yeah.
It really is. So quickly, and I promise we'll do these fast. You ready? Five things. You know every one of them. Five things you've got to do. How many of you want to shift from a poverty mindset to a prosperity mindset? I do.
Yeah.
Okay, five things. Abide in the Word. Amen? You've got to renew your mind according to truth, and you will develop a prosperous soul. If you can get the mind on board and start thinking differently, then the will gets in line.
That's right.
Then the emotions get in line. Amen? And make up your soul. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Secondly, activate your faith.
Amen.
Did you know Jesus actually said, have faith in God? He challenged us to faith, to pray, to believe, to speak to mountains, to take authority.
Right.
Amen? Believe God and don't have any doubt in your heart. Jesus challenged us that.
Yeah.
You got to activate your faith. Amen? You won't believe the things I've called into this ministry, into my life. I've literally stood and called it in by faith. Anybody listen to me, I think, that guy's a nutcase. He should have been talking to the bank about a loan. And no, I called it in Jesus' name. Amen? Number three, tithe. Tithing opens the windows of heaven. And He pours out a blessing you can't even fully contain. And He rebukes the devourer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on. Proverbs says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, your income. The first is the tithe. That's the Lord's. Amen. The tithe belongs to God. You do that, and what does He promise? He said, your barns will be filled and your vats will overflow. Hallelujah. Come on, guys. It's just the principle of tithing. It's so important. It brings you into covenant with God. Number four, participate in giving and receiving. Sowing and reaping, giving and receiving is over and above the tithe. The tithe is the Lord's. That's a no-brainer. But what you give over and above is giving and receiving. Jesus said this, give and it will be given to you with good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Others will pour into your lap. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I've seen that happen in my life.
Amen.
Anybody with me?
Yeah.
Galatians says, whatever a man sows, whatever, you will reap it. It'll come back to you. Amen. Another aspect of giving under number four is giving alms, which is to bless somebody who is in lack, the poor. Somebody who, you have something that will help them. Are y'all with me? That's giving alms to the poor. And that's part of giving. And you might say, well, I'd rather sow into a ministry. Well, you should sow into ministry. But can I say this to you? Giving alms to the poor. You know what Proverbs says? He who gives to the poor lends to God. Wow. He who gives to the poor lends to God. So yeah, Susan and I love to put our seed in other ministries and stuff. Don't get me wrong. I believe in giving over and above the tithe to that. And we should do that. But we also need to be compassionate toward those who don't have. And I'll talk more in a minute about what that can open a door for in just a minute. Many in the body of Christ need to start tithing and giving. Okay? They need to be willing and obedient. We know that. But there's also many of us who are tithing and giving, but we need to activate our faith.
Yeah.
Amen? Need to get rid of the poverty mindset. Because you can give and tithe with a poverty mindset.
Oh, yeah.
Hello? You won't receive the benefit of it because the mindset is wrong. Because God wants us to give what? Cheerfully. Say cheerfully.
Cheerfully.
He wants you to give with joy. You can give and tithe without joy. But if you give and tithe with joy, you can't do it with a poverty spirit. Come on.
Amen.
You can't get excited about giving. For the longest time at our church that I grew up as a Christian in, and I was the worship leader on the platform, and we would have celebrations as we were giving offerings. Sometimes people would bring it down to the front, people would dance with their offering, and we would have offerings, and people were just excited about it. And I used to think, man, you're just lucky I wrote that check out. Yeah. I had a poverty spirit. I thought, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to give. You can't afford not to. Hello. I know, preaching to the choir here today. But the fifth thing and the final thing, I promise, is count it all joy. If you got to learn to do that, you got to be able to offer up the sacrifice of praise. Amen? Amen? That 100-year-old Abraham grew strong in faith. How? Giving glory to God.
That's right.
Giving glory to God. The sacrifice of praise will silence the enemy, but it also undergirds your faith.
That's right.
So you'll have endurance. And what's the result of endurance? Talk to me. You will become perfect and complete. Y'all going quiet. Don't end on me now. Let's make me stay longer. Perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. Amen? Hallelujah. We are blessed to be a blessing. Say that. I am blessed to be a blessing. Amen? Hallelujah. Prosperity and provision is for His name's sake. Amen? It's for the gospel of the kingdom. It's for His name's sake. Ultimately, that's what it's always about. It's not just for what I need, though it will provide for that. But it's so far beyond that. Remember, Jesus said, ask of me and I will give the nations as your inheritance and the ends of the earth as your possession. See, that's God's intention for us. And for those who prosper, we'll be able to bless. And here's what I want to say to you about alms and giving to someone who's lacking and is in need. When you freely give of something to someone like that, now we know we should freely give healing and, you know, things like that. But sometimes it's just to help them. In the area of their sustenance. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And in doing that, believe me, it opens doors for the gospel. Because even if though you help them with the need, now the door is open for you to introduce them to the true riches, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And to kind of help sway that. And I've seen that happen. So I want to ask you this question. Does anyone here want to prosper God's way?
Yeah.
My hand's up. And does anybody want to multiply also in the true riches? Hallelujah. So that's the balance. Does that help you a little bit? Because
there's
a lot of people that rage about prosperity, prosperity preachers and all of that. I'm like going, hold on a minute. What are you going to do with all the prosperity verses? Rip them out like people do about the gifts of the Spirit?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys. We've got to be really, really careful and not allow ourselves to get into that trap. Amen? I want to challenge you in love and with a soberness of spirit to walk in the fullness of this. Because I believe with all my heart we have to walk in the fullness of this as the day of the Lord draws near. Amen? And I'm not preaching doom and gloom, but I don't know what's on the horizon, but I do know this. God is going to supernaturally provide for His people. Just like He did for the children of Israel in Goshen. When the rest of the land of Egypt was under the plagues, they were protected. Are you with me? And I believe we may have some times we'll be in that. I don't really want to have to be in that, but if it does, am I ready? Am I grounded financially? And when it comes to things like sustenance and prosperity, am I grounded in the unshakable kingdom? Amen? Very important. We were created for miracles. And can I tell you, I believe some of those, I heard the Lord say this to me this morning. So, that's why this message is going longer again. Had to add something. Some miracles are going to be supernatural provision. We're just going to go, whoa.
Yeah.
Y'all see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whoa, your debt's gone?
Yeah.
We need to get out of debt, beloved. Amen?
Yeah.
Come on, we need to get out of debt.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you're going to look back and go, whoa, somebody gave you that house? Whoa.
Yeah.
Somebody gave that church that building? Y'all with me? I'm talking about supernatural things.
Yeah,
I believe that. Don't turn there. Just listen. In Acts 3:33, in the early church, it said, with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And get this, and abundant grace was on them all, including the grace of giving. Okay? For there was not, get this, I love this, there was not a needy person among them. You might say, well, everybody went home and their mailbox had money in it. No. No. For all who were owners of land and houses, they would sell them, bring the proceeds of the sales, lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. I believe that's going to be restored. We're going to have people come in through the harvest that are not going to have anything, but the body of Christ is going to bring them up, going to raise them up to a level of prosperity and financial security. I believe that.
Yes. Yes.
I really do. So we don't have to freak out.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. Not everybody that's going to come into harvest is what we would call poor. But there are a lot that are. And there are lots that are going to be looking for answers in a time when there is no way to get anything. Amen?
Yeah.
And I believe we're going to see that. Can y'all agree with me for that?
Amen.
I would rather be looking for that than the alternative.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, guys, as Americans, for the most part, even in good times and bads, we've never known poverty.
Yeah.
Hello? Not really.
Not really.
Got a poverty mind, but we don't know, really know poverty.
Right.
Not in that way. And so I believe the challenges that lay ahead. And as I said a few weeks ago, it's really hard to lay your foundation once the storm has started.
Yeah.
It's a little late to get your workbench out and get your tools out when the wind and the waves are hitting your house. That's a little late, amen? And I feel like the Lord's warning us.
Yeah.
I really do. I feel like the Lord's warning us to get ourselves on stable ground. Can I pray for you, everybody, right now? All of you at home, lift up your hands and let me pray over you right now. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that You would give each of us a heart to be willing and obedient. Now, as I pray this, I want you to speak yes and amen over it and receive it into your spirit, okay? That, Lord, You would give each of us a heart to be willing and to be obedient.
Yes.
Amen. Lord, grant us the grace to give and to do Your will.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I want that. Amen. To abide in Your word and to be transformed by it.
Yes.
Spirit of poverty and lack be removed from our very soul. I pray in the name of Jesus. So that we may walk in truth, and that we may know and believe that our Heavenly Father wishes for us to prosper and be in good health as our soul prospers. Grant us the grace, Lord, to see ourselves walking as Your righteous ones all day and every day as the blessed of the Lord, to be a blessing, to always be gracious and to lend.
Amen.
Teach us, Holy Spirit, to be faithful with unrighteous money and wealth and resources, so that we may be entrusted with the true riches of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray these things over you today in the mighty name of Jesus. If you receive it, say, be it unto me according to the word. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.